One of the concerns during this pandemic is its effects on mental health, and in particular the risk that people are so distressed or hopeless, particularly about the economic situation or educational prospects, that they feel the only way out is to take their own life. But there are opportunities to prevent that happening, and it needn't involve a long course of therapy. A recent study has reviewed the evidence for what are called brief interventions for suicide prevention. Dr. Stephanie Dubnyk of the University of Pennsylvania was the lead author, and we spoke this morning.
I'm happy to be here.
Can you just describe, at least in the United States context, I suspect it's not too different here, the typical pathway of somebody who ends up taking their own life?
Many folks who do end up dying by suicide have had multiple opportunities where they've had contact with the healthcare system to identify that concern and, you know, hopefully to intervene. So sometimes folks have been in the emergency department, sometimes folks have had a hospitalization, sometimes they've been to visit their primary care doctor. And so my research is to identify folks when they're having those opportunities of contact with the healthcare system and to try and intervene before a tragic event like a suicide death.
And what are the signals? I mean, obviously self-harm is one. Depression is not always a reliable indicator of whether somebody's at risk. What should health professionals be looking out for before we get to these interventions?
One really strong recommendation is that anybody who's presenting with any type of mental health concern, whether it's depression, whether it's something else, should be screened for risk of suicide, because we know that depression alone isn't a reliable indicator of whether somebody is at risk of suicide, and the same for any other mental health concern. And one area that we're working on in healthcare in general is to try to understand also how to screen for folks who maybe aren't presenting with a mental health concern, but maybe a physical concern, like aches or pains or that sort of thing. But really, the key thing to know is that without asking about suicide risk directly, like doing a suicide risk screening, it's hard to know who's at risk of suicide. And so screening is really very important.
And what does screening consist of?
Screening would be asking questions to help assess whether somebody's having thoughts of suicide, whether they've made any plans toward making a suicide attempt, whether they've done any actions or behaviors that could be placing them at risk of dying, really just asking them about where their mind is and things that they may have done that are putting them at risk of suicide.
So then the question is, if you've identified somebody at risk, what do you do about it? And the approach you've taken is, well, this might be the only time you ever see this person. They might disappear into the ether. So it's got to be right now that I do it because I might not get another chance.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, I work in a children's hospital setting, so I see kids that have come to the emergency department, and sometimes maybe they've been admitted to the hospital. And you're absolutely right. Once I discharge them from my care, I might never see them again. And so I've been very interested in what we can do in those one contact healthcare encounters to help make sure that somebody is safe if we're sending them back to the community.
And what you did was you reviewed the evidence on a lot of brief interventions. What do you do on that one session? What sort of interventions did you look at?
Included interventions that had a brief follow-up component. So one of those types of interventions is considered a caring contact or a brief contact intervention, where let's say I'm a doctor in the emergency department and I've seen somebody who's at risk of suicide and we send them home. One of the things that we might do is have the emergency department follow up via phone call, text message, even a postcard can be effective for helping reduce risk of a future suicide attempt. There were a few other categories of interventions that we identified. So the first one that I just mentioned is the brief contact interventions. We also identified sort of brief therapy sessions that can be done in the ER, where you might have a brief session with a counselor or a psychotherapist. We identified care coordination interventions, where somebody is really focused on making sure that you have access to mental health care after you leave the emergency department or whatever setting you might be in. And then the last category we called safety planning interventions. So that's a group of interventions where the person seeing somebody at risk of suicide kind of plans with them for how to make sure that they're going to be safe after leaving the emergency department or wherever else they may be. So reducing access to lethal means like guns, knives, other things that might be dangerous, and then making a coping plan. So let's say they're having suicidal thoughts. Who do they call? Where do they go? How do they make sure that they can stay safe in that moment?
And what did you find when you added up all the evidence?
we found that on the whole, suicide prevention interventions delivered in those brief encounters are effective at reducing risk of subsequent suicide attempts and at increasing folks' access to ongoing mental health care. So they were more likely to have a mental health follow-up visit after that brief encounter.
Did it matter which intervention they got?
You know, we didn't analyze the data in that way. We really only looked at the interventions in aggregate.
And of course, in a real world, somebody sitting in an emergency department might choose the right one for that individual rather than one size fits all.
You know, I think that's right. And I think it's also sort of at the system level about making sure that every emergency department where a patient might go if they're at risk of suicide is equipped to deliver one of these kinds of interventions. So, you know, a small emergency department in a rural area might be best served by one type of intervention, whereas a really large academic center in an urban area where the resources are different might be best served by a different intervention. So I think it is a little bit about, you know, the setting where the patient is and then about the unique characteristics of what the patient themselves might need.
So they reduced suicide attempts. Did they reduce deaths by suicide?
Most of the studies did not look at whether suicide deaths were reduced. Suicide death is quite rare, and so it's hard to show that there's a change. But we consider a reduction in suicide attempts a fairly good proxy.
So if a parent of a young person's listening and they're worried about their child, for example, and or somebody's listening themselves and has had these thoughts, is there a message in here for them?
Absolutely. If you yourself or if, you know, a loved one is having thoughts of suicide, the number one thing that I can say is that it's so important and so helpful to reach out. That's really the number one message. Connection is so important, and there are folks out there who care and who can help change the course and get you on a path toward feeling better.
Stephanie, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Stephanie Dupnik is an assistant professor of pediatrics at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia and the University of Pennsylvania. And if you or somebody you know is thinking about suicide, you can call Lifeline on 131114. For young people, Headspace provides resources and support. You can go to headspace.org.au or Beyond Blue has a support service on 1300 224636. And remember, if it's somebody you know, asking them if they're okay and not being afraid of the answer, and you will not actually make them think of suicide or cause harm by saying, have you thought about harming yourself if you're worried about them, and then helping them to get support. That's really important to know. I'm Norman Swan. See you next week.